Eden End, a play by J.B. Priestley, which was first performed at the Duchess Theatre in 1934. This Saturday Night Theatre radio version was first broadcast in 1974 as a tribute to Priestley on his 80th birthday and features the cast of a then-recent National Theatre production. The play reflects an Edwardian age of innocence just before the outbreak of the First World War. It's 1912, and Dr. Kirby, an elderly Yorkshire GP, is confronted with a complicated family reunion at a time when he sees England and himself coming to the end of an era. Writing in the Radio Times in 1935, the journalist Ivor Brown wrote, "Eden End, a village among the fells, was perhaps too wet to be paradise, but it was paradise compared with the England of 1914-18, and the end of its secure tranquillity was close." Joan Plowright, Leslie Sands, and Geoffrey Palmer star in Eden End.
I'm getting it, Sarah. I'm getting it.
You've been at it long enough.
Now, just listen. What do you think of that?
Sounds like proper playing. Almost.
Not so much of the almost. What more do you want?
Well, I'm not saying you're not doing very well with it. But you'll never shape at it like Miss Stella. Never in all your born days, you won't.
Do you know how many times you've said that?
For playing and singing and such like.
She was wonderful, I know. Well, I'm wonderful too.
You're a right untidy lad.
Oh, I'm not a lad.
Bother I've had with your clothes.
Did you do anything to my blue shirt?
Aye, it's mended. And two more besides, and two of the doctors.
When I'm in Africa, Sarah, black women wash my clothes.
I remember seeing four black women once at Martinborough Fair. Black as your boots they were, and fuzzy hair.
Where I work when I go away, there are thousands and thousands of people like that, and I'm the boss. And then when I come home on leave, you call me a lad.
These women kept rubbing their teeth with bits of stick, I remember.
Oh.
I fancy it was the same year you went and fell into the duck pond just outside Martinborough. You were only a little lad and you had your best sailor suit on.
What would you do if you saw a hippopotamus?
I don't know what they are. I've no time to be bothering with such little things now.
Good old Sarah.
You get on with your piano playing and frame a bit better. Oh, there you are, Miss Lillian. What about Gregson's order?
All right, I'll look after that.
What's that for, Corral?
That's the waltz from Gypsy Love.
It sounds a mess.
That's because I can't play it properly.
That's obvious.
You ought to hear it as they do it. Gertie Miller and Robert McCallis.
Wonderful.
Oh, you know, somehow it completely carried me away. Was rot, I suppose.
Of course it's rot.
Yes, but just think. Oh, you might listen, Lillian. Hang it all, I'm not always here to tell you things, and I listen to you.
Go on, then.
Just think of it. Back from Africa. London. First night on leave. A jolly good dinner with two other chaps in the company. Then Daly's. Lights and everybody in the stalls dressed. Stunning girls, the band playing, and then Gertie Miller, and oh, everything. Oh, do you know, Lillian, I felt quite extraordinary. Very nearly cried.
Did you?
Oh, I didn't really cry, you know. But I nearly did. Well, I felt like it.
That's the only bit you haven't told me 20 times already.
Sorry, didn't know I'd been boring you.
You haven't. Oh, by the way, you wouldn't like to walk into the village to give an order to Gregson's, would you?
No, thanks.
Oh, then I suppose I'll have to go. Soon.
Don't you ever get tired of reading?
Yes.
Well, you always are reading.
No, I'm not. I spend most of the day looking after this house and Dad. And you when you're at home.
Yes, but the minute you've done, you begin reading. What's that?
Wells's new book. Marriage.
You never seem to stop reading H.G. Wells. I don't know how you can stick him. I can't. He doesn't seem to like anything. He always makes me feel so uncomfortable. What's the point of reading if it makes you feel uncomfortable? It's bad enough in real life.
That's stupid.
Why is it stupid? Geoffrey Ferrant was saying just the same thing the other day.
What? Don't be absurd. Did Geoffrey really say that?
Well, wouldn't you like to know?
Well, it doesn't matter in the least.
Is Geoffrey coming around tonight?
I don't know, he might.
Good old Geoffrey. By Jove, when I was a kid about 14, I used to think he was marvellous.
Yes, I know.
That was when he was mad on Stella. Oh, he was my hero, all right. Regular soldier, captain, wounded in the Boer War. I used to follow him around like a little dog. Oh, I must have been a nuisance when he wanted to be alone with Stella. She used to tease him and say he came round just to be a hero to me. That's a long time ago. Nearly 10 years. I say...
Well?
You see a lot of Geoffrey these days. Does he ever talk about Stella?
No, why should he? Give me a cigarette.
What for? You don't smoke.
Well, I do if I want to. Give me one, please.
Oh, all right, Christabel Pankhurst. And mind you don't make yourself sick.
And why should I? I'm better at not being sick than you are. When you admit yourself, you're always seasick.
That's different. Besides, just you try going through the Bay of Biscay in winter, as I've done 4 times now.
And then there was the time that we both went on the swings at Martinborough Fair and you were horribly sick and I wasn't.
You see? Take it easy. What if Dad comes marching in, eh?
He won't mind. Mother would have minded, but Dad won't.
One of our chaps in Nigeria told me his father wouldn't let him do anything. Terribly strict. That's why he cleared out.
Lucky chap.
Oh, you know, when I came home and saw the telephone brand new, I thought I'd be able to have a lot of fun with it, but I haven't. There's nobody ring up in this place.
Who were you ringing up yesterday?
You were listening.
I wasn't. I happened to hear your voice when I was in the hall putting some things away. Who was it?
Oh, just somebody I know.
A girl, obviously.
Oh.
You're keeping her very dark, aren't you?
I don't know her very well, and anyhow, she lives miles away, the other side of Martinborough. Never mind about her.
Oh, I'm not minding. It's just that I suspect that she's a barmaid, and that's why you can get her on the telephone.
You know, Lillian, one thing puzzles
me. And if she's a barmaid on the telephone and the other side of Martinborough, then she's probably at that big pub at the crossroads near Denley Dean, the White Hart.
Will you listen?
You really like her, Wilfred. Or do you just think being sweet on a barmaid is very manly and West African?
I'm trying to say something important.
What is it?
Oh, you don't really want to know. You'll only laugh.
Well, I mightn't. Tell me.
Well, it's difficult to explain, but... Well, I feel as if I'm being done in the eye.
You probably are.
No. You see, when I'm out there in Africa, I think of Eden End here, home, and you, and Dad and everything. I long to leave. And when at last it comes, well, of course, it's absolutely ripping, but then, when I've been here a week or two...
It all begins to look dull, doesn't it?
Well, not quite as bad as that.
Yes, it is. Don't sound so apologetic. I don't blame you.
Oh, anyhow, it isn't what I expected. And then I begin to think about Nigeria again. Oh, and I begin to feel it won't be bad getting back there. Now I know that once I am back there, I'll be longing to be on leave again, and this place will seem all different. I've got into a sort of life that I'm never in the right place at the right time.
Poor Wilfred. You were just like that when you were at school.
Yes, I know. And I thought it would be different when I left school and grew up. Well, perhaps it will later on.
Perhaps it will. You've plenty of time.
Things can't stay like this. When I've more money, I shall have more fun on leave. And it'll be more amusing out there when I'm promoted. It's 1912 now. Well, in 3 or 4 years' time, say in 1916, I may have a district of my own.
Could I come out and see you then?
Oh, you might. Depends where I'm sent, really.
You may be married by then.
Oh, I don't really suppose so. 3 or 4 years isn't really a long time. Oh, hurry up, 1916. Sounds a nice, right sort of year, doesn't it? 1916. Oh, I'll go.
Thank you. I didn't want to put this down to open the door because I'm not so good at stooping as I was, given me palpitations. And I've been stooping enough. What have you been doing? I've been up in the back garret, summing up these old clothes for the doctor. He wants to give them away. And look what I found. What is it? Don't you remember? It's the very dress Miss Stella wore that time she acted at the town hall at Martinborough, and they all clapped us along. And she came back and told her poor mother she was going on the stage for a living. And we had such a do, all shouting and bawling and crying. Don't you remember it?
I do.
Yes, I do now. I should think so, too. I helped her to make it, and right bonny she looked in it. I found it behind some boxes in the back garret. I fancy your mother threw it there. Mm. Moths has been at it a bit, but I'm thinking it'd clean and mend.
What for? It's quite useless.
How do you know? We might send it to her. She might be glad of it for her acting.
You're cracked, Sarah.
What's there to laugh at, I'd like to know?
Nothing. Only we couldn't send it to Stella, even if it would be useful. We don't know where she is.
Well, isn't she out? You know, where is it? That big place.
Timbuktu.
Not Timbuktu, neither, you daft lad. It's where she said there was all eucalyptus.
Australia. But that was 3 years ago. We haven't heard anything from her since.
Is it 3 years since we heard last?
Yes, and she's been away now more than 8 years.
I didn't think it was so long. I'm getting old, I forget. I'm dreaming half my time.
Well, I do remember. It was pretty, and I believe I was jealous because I hadn't one like it.
Ah, you were. You were a jealous little madam in them days, let me tell you. See, I sewed these sequins on for her myself. It was all a secret. She used to sneak into the study to try it on. Only seems like yesterday. Oh, well, I'm going to sort these out.
Oh, here, I'll take them.
Oh, thank you. Oh, your father's in. He called at Gregson's.
Oh, good.
That one's answering now, daft thing. Got to wait on the machine. That's what we're coming to.
All right, Lillian, I'll answer it.
It'll never get me waiting on it. It can ring its head up.
Hello? Yes? Yes, Dr. Kirby here. Oh, is that you, William? She's what? I see. Well, what do you expect? Any pains? No, I thought not. Well, just keep her warm and don't worry. Nothing new, you know. It's all happened before. That's right, you let me know. Oh, William, just keep out of the Eden Moor Hotel for a night or two, will you? Huh? That's it. You're not in a fit state of mind to do yourself any good in the bar of the Eden... Look, it's all right. Don't worry. William Sugden worrying about his wife. She'll be all right, stronger than he is. But it just showed you, Lillian, how useful a telephone is here. Now, that little chat across the wires has saved William or me a useless journey. It's a pity we didn't have it years ago. We're too old-fashioned round here. Out of date.
You don't think you're out of date, do you?
Me? Years out of date. I've just been trying to understand what some of these young fellas are writing now in the medical journals. Too clever for me. Too 1912 altogether. But I could probably give him points when it comes to dealing with William Sugden and his wife. Hello, Wilfred. What have you been doing in there?
Helping Sarah to sort out some old clothes for you.
Good, good. They can do with some of them down in the village. Lloyd George is going to give them ninepence for fourpence soon, with me thrown in. But in the meantime, we'll give them some old clothes to be going on with.
Oh, would you like to hear my gramophone, Dad?
No, thank you, no. I've got to get back to the surgery. But if I was staying, I'd just as soon not hear your gramophone. I've got to listen to too many patients to want to hear mechanical music. If it is music.
We all have a billiard table here. If I got more chance to play, I believe I should be good at billiards. I made a break of 27 when I played at the club at Arkansas.
Isn't it ridiculous that you should go to all these places while I have to stay here?
No, I didn't see that.
But I used to be much more adventurous than you. Much keener on exploring and wild places. I'll bet I've read far more about Africa than you have.
What's that, reading about it? I've been.
Do you know what I'd rather have done than anything else in the whole world? Mm-hmm. I'd rather have gone with Captain Scott to the South Pole. And if he lectures about it when he gets back, I shall go. I don't care where it is.
Well, you can't be so jolly adventurous, as you call it, else you'd have cared out. Well, after all, Stella did.
Yes, Stella did. And what happened then? Mother died. I had to come home to look after the house and father. Well, it's easy enough to do what Stella did. Just clear out and do what you want to do.
Yes, but she knew what she wanted to do.
Perhaps I did, too.
What about a good old row on the gramophone, eh?
Oh, must you?
Yes, I must. I should take this back with me. You know, this thing's getting awfully good. I say, shall we dance? Come on, Lillian.
Slow. Stella! Oh, it's Wilfred.
all grown up and a moustache. And Lillian, all grown up too. Oh, here, let me take this damned hat off. Oh, Lillian, darling, you're not at all what I expected you to look like. And yet you're completely Lillian and just right. Oh, isn't it odd? Everything's just the same, only smaller. It's Miss Stella. Why, Miss Stella.
Oh, Sarah. Oh, my precious, precious, lovely old Sarah.
I can't talk.
And I can't.
You haven't altered a bit, though.
Oh, but I have, Sarah. I'm old, yes, old. I shall never see 30 again, and my hair's turning grey. Oh,
it is.
It is. I pulled 3 grey hairs out yesterday. Where's Dad? Is he all right?
Yes, he'll be in the surgery.
Oh, shall I tell him?
No, no, don't disturb him. We'll give him a surprise. Is he just the same?
Oh, of course he is.
Of course. There isn't any of course about it. Oh, Wilfred, that just shows how young you are in spite of that moustache. People change. Everything changes. Does he still watch birds and collect 18th century engravings?
Yes, Dad hasn't changed at all.
Oh, thank God.
Why didn't you tell us you were coming?
Oh, my dear, I couldn't. I didn't know. And I couldn't just write. I think I was afraid to. Either I had to stay away altogether or come with a rush just like this. Don't you understand?
Yes. You'd been away so long.
So long. And to so many places.
Oh, where have you been, Stella?
Oh, where haven't I been? All over England, then out east, then Australia. Well, I wrote to you from there.
Ah, you did, love.
I was nearly dying of homesickness when I wrote that letter. You can't imagine what it's like.
Oh, I can. I'm in Nigeria now. Got a job for the British West African Development Company. I'm on leave.
Africa. And on leave. Oh, Wilfred, it's incredible. It seems only yesterday since you were a fat little schoolboy.
What?
Oh, I'm sorry, but it does. I didn't really believe in that moustache. Somehow I thought of you just sticking it on for fun.
I'm 24. I've been 4 years with the British West African.
Well, isn't that wonderful? Well, after Australia, I went to America. I've travelled thousands of miles. I seem to have lived in railway trains with cinders in my eyes and a headache for centuries. None of it real, like a long, stupid dream. But now I'm home. Well, you can't imagine what it means.
Aren't you famished, love? Can't I get you something?
No, no, thank you, not just now, Sarah. You know, it's all just as I remembered it, only smaller. All the time I've been away, it's been shrinking and shrinking, like life. Oh, there's the China Castle. Still there. Not broken.
No.
Well, all sorts of things can get broken. People can get broken, but a thing like this can go on and on. I remember I used to wonder what was happening inside it. Tiny little people all made of china.
You used to tell me stories about that castle.
Tell me about people. The Mowbrays, the Oldroyds, the Burtons, oh, everybody. My old admirer, Geoffrey Farrant. What's happened to him?
He's still here. His father died.
Is he married? Do you ever see him?
He's not married.
And we often see him. He's a great pal of Lillian's now.
Where are your things? My trunk's in the hall. I got a trap from the station, but I didn't know the man who brought me. I didn't recognize anybody at the station either.
Would you like a cigarette?
No, thank you. But Eden Moor and Eden End looked just the same. I didn't seem to have been away at all. I might only have been to Martinborough for the day. You were still at school, Wilfred. You just left, Lillian, and you'd two long plaits. And Dad and Mother. Was it awful, Lillian, about Mother?
Yes. For a long time. But it's 6 years ago, you know. She wasn't ill for long, but she'd a lot of pain. It was Dad I was sorry for.
Oh, Miss Stella, love. Such a silly thing happened in the train. The man sitting opposite me, he looked like Winston Churchill, only fatter. Carefully unpacked a lot of sandwiches on the seat, then stood up for something and then sat down again on the sandwiches. There was another woman in the compartment and we suddenly laughed and laughed. And the man laughed too. Well, they were very eggy sandwiches. Why are some things so silly?
Do you remember the time when a little man with a very funny face, well, what was his name now?
Blockton.
Oh, yes.
We started giggling and then had to go outside in turn.
Yes, Mr. Blockton. And it was much worse for me because I was so much older and I had to be polite. Yes. Then the time when Aunt Mary brought that new bum flower.
Oh, yes. And the time when the young man called something came to see you and dropped the DJ.
And the time we all went to the Mowbrays for a party on the wrong day.
And the snow was so big we had to stay and they were so cross and we were so cross and all the chimneys.
And I broke a huge ornament and put the piece in the coal scuttle.
I'm only thinking about all those things on the train coming up. I've got millions of questions to ask.
Oh, so have we, haven't we, Lillian?
I suppose you'd like your old room, wouldn't you?
I'd love it if it's free.
Well, it's full of odds and ends at the moment.
I'll get it ready, Miss Lillian.
No, I'll do it. Wilfrid can give me a hand and maybe some furniture to move.
Rather.
Oh, can't I do anything?
No, you're tired. Besides, you don't know where things are now. Dad'll be in a minute. You wait here.
Oh, you know, Stella, when you were home, I was only a kid and didn't bother about the theatre. But I saw Gypsy Love at Daly's a few weeks ago, and now I'm very keen. Yeah. Oh, you've got to tell me all about it.
All right, I'll tell you miles and miles of it.
Oh, good. Oh, I expect you've had a marvellous time, haven't you?
Well, mixed, you know.
Oh, you'll find it pretty dull here.
I shan't. It's heavenly. Even though you have been in Africa and come on leave, you can't imagine what it means to me to come back home again. It's real. Everything's real again.
I'm going to give Lillian a hand with your room, then I'll come down and ask you thousands of questions.
I say, You don't really think this moustache looks silly, do you?
Oh, Wilfred, it's a grand moustache, and you look a real African adventurer with it. It's tremendously exciting to be a sister to such a moustache. In a year or two, it's going to be a terrific heartbreaker.
You're pulling my leg. You always did, you know.
Well, isn't it nice that I'm starting all over again?
Yes. Go, Stella.
I think Wilfred's grown up to be a very nice young man, don't you, Sarah?
Oh, Master Wilfred's all right. But he's only a bit of a lad for all his big talk. Miss Lillian's different. She's properly grown up. Always was a bit old-fashioned, never gave herself away. There are times now, and dang me, you'd think she was 50 to hear her talk. Not that she talks much.
I don't suppose poor Lillian's had a very easy time all these years I've been away. She's sort of sunk into herself. She's on her guard somehow, almost as if I were a stranger. Well, perhaps I am a stranger, Sarah. But I don't feel like one to myself. Only Stella Kirby, back home again in Eden End.
Look what I've found, not an hour since. It might have been waiting for you to come home, Luke.
Why? It's the one I wore ages ago in that show at the town hall in Martinborough. The one you and I made, Sarah.
I know it is. I was going to clean and mend it. Moths has been at it a bit.
Yeah, the moths has been at us all, Sarah, darling. But I never thought I'd see this costume again. Oh, the excitement there was here about it, do you remember?
I should think I do.
I thought I was a real actress the night I put this on.
Well, they clapped you enough.
More than some people have clapped me since. That was the night. The bell and leading juvenile of the Martinborough Amateur Dramatic Society. And fat old Mr. Burton gave me a box of chocolates, do you remember?
Aye, and he'd have given a lot more besides chocolates if you'd let him, that chap would. I've heard tales of him since. I'm thankful to have seen this day, love. I've prayed to be spared to see you come home.
I'm sorry I've been so long.
You didn't forget me?
No, never, never. All over the world. And in the oddest places I've thought about you, and longed to see you again. You needn't pray any more. I've come home.
You were always a bonny piece. You were a grand baby. Fine little lass, and a bonny young woman when you grew up.
Bless you for those kind words.
But there are lines in that face that weren't there when I last saw it.
Well, I'm getting on. And all those years I've been away haven't been easy.
No, I can see as much. You've had your troubles, haven't you? Nay, you can tell me, even if you never tell another soul. I'll say nought.
Yes, I've had my troubles.
Disappointments?
Yes, a fair share.
Didn't they treat you well on the stage, love?
Nearly as well as I deserved, I suppose. But this is our secret, Sarah. I wasn't the great actress I thought I was going to be. Oh, I wasn't bad. I'm not bad. But somehow, I've never been able to do what I thought I could do.
Something gets in the way. I feel it all inside, but it doesn't come out right. I've disappointed myself. I think even Mother would have been sorry for me if she'd known.
Oh.
I don't say I've had wonderful chances, but I have had chances, and somehow I've missed them. I think I came nearer to being a really good actress than I'd have all this pathetic thing than I've ever done since.
Oh, love.
It's all gone wrong, Sarah. My work and my life. I'm a dismal failure.
Don't worry. There's plenty of time. You're young.
No, I'm not.
I think I hear the doctor.
Oh, Dad mustn't see me like this. And he mustn't know.
He won't from me. Nobody will. I'll see if he's there.
Oh, there's a visitor in there for you, sir.
Visitor? Well, I'm not expecting any. Is it Stella?
Oh, yes, Father. Oh, Dad, you're just the same. Only a little greyer, that's all.
Oh, no, I'm a lot older. And you're older, too, you know. I'm not going to flatter you, even if you are a famous actress. You look a bit tired. But then I expect you are after your journey. Where did you come from?
London. I got the 11 o'clock to Martinborough.
A good old 11 o'clock. Why didn't you let us know? What? We'd have had the fatted calf ready for
I
you.
Couldn't. I came... Well, it was an impulse. I'm still impulsive, you know.
We thought you'd forgotten us.
I've never forgotten you. How could I? But I've been out of England so much, touring, working hard. My plans always seem so confused. It was difficult to write.
Yes, I can understand that. Though in a quiet corner like this, we're apt to forget what the hustling and bustling world, your world, is like.
Oh.
You know, Stella, I've been thinking a lot just lately.
Yes, Father.
But something happened that made me start thinking.
What?
You might call it taking stock. Thinking about life, my life, your life. You know, I've come to the conclusion that you were right and your mother and I were wrong.
No.
That's all right. It's all old history now. We can talk about it frankly and freely. And you're a grown-up woman, not a bit of a girl. You were right to do what you did. Now, I'm not saying you didn't cause any pain.
I did, I know.
But that wasn't your fault. That's life. Life can't move on without inflicting pain. We can't even come into the world without somebody being hurt, as well I know. I'll be lucky if I don't see a bit more of that late on tonight. The great cosmic processes have a habit of reaching a climax round here just when I've got comfortably off to sleep.
Poor Dad. Who is it this time?
Mrs. Sugden.
Sugden?
Odd. I think she's since your time. Well, I reckon I've done my duty by Mrs. Sugden and her like in this neighbourhood for nearly 40 years.
I know you have, and I'm sure they still worship you.
No, not they. I only wish they'd pay a bit more attention and then pay a few more bills. But I'm not complaining. I've had a good life here. Your mother and I were happy. We'd all the friends we wanted. And this has been a real home. Well, even to you it was, once.
Do you think I could forget it?
And then, besides me work and me family, I had my little hobbies. My birds. And by the way, don't let anybody tell you that you can't see a needle-tailed swift in this country, because I saw one myself only this last summer. A needle-tailed swift. Eh? No mistake about it.
No, I won't let anybody tell me, Dad. I'll put them in their place at once.
That's right. There's as much clap-clap talked about birds now as there is about anything. You know, only the other
day... Oh, no, Dad, you can't go on about birds now. You were just going to tell me something important, something serious.
Well, this is serious.
Yes, I know, and I'd love to hear it, but that will do another time, and perhaps this other thing won't.
That's true. This is something I wouldn't say to the younger children. What I was going to say was, well, looking back on my life, it's been a reasonably good one.
And you wouldn't change it.
That's where you're wrong. I would.
Dad!
There was a time when I had to make a choice.
Between this and another kind of life?
Yes. I wasn't always a plodding old GP, you know, years behind the time.
No.
Once I was thought to be a very clever young man. I had a brilliant career, as a student. Well, then I had to make a choice between settling down here quietly and comfortably or taking a risk in London. I might have failed there. On the other hand, I might have been successful. Men who walked the hospitals when I did, men who hadn't the reputation I had, have been very successful. Now, some of them, I could give you their names, have been knighted and so forth. They're rich and famous.
Oh, what's that?
Mere vulgar rewards, if you like. They've lived, Stella, as I haven't lived. But as you, I'm glad to say, are living hard, are you? You were right to cut and run when you did, and looking back now, when it's all nearly ended...
Well, don't talk like that, Father. You're not old yet.
I say, looking back when it's all nearly ended, I wish now that I'd had the same sort of courage.
It's not courage.
I won't envy my distinguished colleagues, but I can envy you. And I do. You made a bolt for the main road. You're doing what you always wanted to do, and you've made a success of it. You've gone all over the world, been applauded and admired everywhere, given pleasure to thousands upon
Dad,
thousands...
Dad, please, please stop.
What's the matter? Hey, I never knew actresses suffered from such modesty.
It isn't that.
What is it, then?
Oh, I don't know. It's... Perhaps it's hearing you say these things.
Don't try and be kind to me. It's the truth.
It's...
You know it.
Well, I suppose it's embarrassing.
I can talk to you properly. I see you now as a grown-up person.
Thank you, Dad.
Oh, well, it's not easy for a parent, you know. I suppose I ought to see Lillian and Wilfred as grown-up people now, too. But I can't. Not only because they're younger than you, but because there hasn't been the same break. I ought to be frank with them, but it's difficult.
You can be frank with me, then?
Oh, yes. I find that quite easy.
Then what did you mean when you said, looking back now when it's all nearly ended? You're not really old, you know.
I'm not young.
Oh, is that all?
No. No, I'm afraid it isn't. There's something I can tell you that I can't tell the other. Well, you can stand it and they can't. You're older, you have your profession, you're enjoying life. You've really done with us. Now, what does that mean?
Oh, nothing. Oh, Dad, does this mean that there's something wrong with you? That you're ill?
Take it easy, Stella. I'm afraid it does. One advantage of being in my profession is that you get to know what's happening inside you. I had a very nasty bout of influenza a few years ago, and I did a very silly thing, a sort of thing I've warned hundreds of people against doing. I got up and started work again far too early. So, I landed myself with a bad heart.
Well, what's wrong with it?
All sorts of things. It's worse than my old bike. But you might describe the trouble shortly as a valvular lesion with inefficient compensation.
Oh, Dad, what's that?
I do what I can about it, of course. I don't work as hard as I used to, though it's not easy to rest here. And I give myself digitalis and other things. I get along.
It's serious, then?
It's no joke at all. In fact, I'm very glad you've come to see us now.
Dad!
Easy. Stella. It seems... shabby trick landing you with this in the minute you arrive, but I just thought you might notice something, and so I'm telling you, quite frankly, so that you won't discuss it with Lillian and Wilfred. It's our little secret, eh? Not much of a one, I know, but there you are.
I won't say a word.
That's right. You see, they haven't settled down to their lives yet, as you have to yours. In fact, sometimes I'm a bit worried about Lillian. I'm not grumbling about myself, you know. I've had a good run. Though I would like to live long enough to see this country settling down a bit better.
Oh, bother the country. I don't care about that. It's you.
Yes. This has been a very unsettling and worrying year so far. Two big strikes. Ulster arming for rebellion. Young women being forcibly fed in jail. And all this health insurance business. And everybody rushing about at 30 and 40 miles an hour. No, up in the air as well as on the road. There's not much sunset calm about me. Still, in a year or two, we might have settled down again. I like to think so.
I hope so, for your sake.
Now then, look, that's enough about me. And it's dismal stuff. I've got to hear all about your triumph.
Yeah?
Been all over the place, haven't you?
Yes, all over, like a crazy parcel.
And enjoyed it, eh? Constant change, excitement, applause, eh? Don't let it spoil you.
I'll try not to, Dad, unless I'm spoilt already.
Not a sign of it. Yes, sir, I was against you leaving home and going on the stage, but chiefly, I think, for your mother's sake. I believe it does girls good to go out into the world.
Sometimes.
I've never said anything to her, and of course I've been very glad to have her here, but I've often thought Lillian's been at home too long. Huh? She might have done a lot better for herself if she'd followed your example and found something she wanted to do away from home. Don't tell her that.
No, I won't. But she probably stayed simply because I went, for your sake.
Oh, no. No, I don't think so. I never asked her to... No. No, Lillian likes being at home. A lot of girls do, of course. It's quite natural. Must be nearly supper time. Where is Lillian?
I ought to be doing something.
Nonsense. You're a guest. The work here's easy, and we've plenty to do it. Lillian, an old Sarah, and a woman from the village comes in every day now, and... Yeah, Lillian, I was just wondering about supper. Stella must be hungry.
It'll be ready in about 10 minutes.
Good. And I'll be ready for it.
Your room's ready now if you want to go up.
Thanks, Lillian.
And Wilfred's taken your trunk upstairs.
I suppose I ought to go up. I'm probably filthy, but I've been too excited to care.
You look all right.
Oh, we old travellers know all sorts of dodges.
Well, what's the matter?
You know, you're different.
Well, naturally. It's such a long time since you saw me last.
Are you happy?
Well, I don't know. Don't you think that's rather a silly question?
Is it?
Well, I think so. Most of the time, one isn't either happy or unhappy.
Like you now?
Like me now.
But there's something about you that I don't understand.
Well, why bother?
Oh, my dear, I want to bother. You talk as if we were strangers.
Well, aren't we? We haven't set eyes on one another for years.
No, but I've been thinking about you all the time.
Well, even if you have, that's not enough. I'd only just left school when you went away. I'm quite different.
I see that.
We'll get to know one another again, perhaps. Only don't force it.
Well, that's not meant for a snub, I hope.
No. Tell me something.
Yes, anything.
You're married, aren't you?
Yes. How did you know?
I saw the mark of the ring on your finger.
I probably would have told you all about it later, but please, Lillian, don't say anything yet.
What happened?
I married 3 years ago in Australia. He was an actor in the same company. After first year, it didn't work very well, and we've separated now.
Where is he?
A week ago, I couldn't have told you. We separated in America. About 3 days ago, I called at my agent's in town, and I saw him there. We have the same agent. It was strange.
What's his name?
Charles Appleby. Oh, he's not famous or anything, just a goodish actor. Very nice family. He can be quite charming at times. We were very happy together for a little while.
And now you're separated?
Yes. Yes, I'm not really Stella Kirby anymore. But Mrs. Charles Appleby not living with her husband.
Is there going to be a divorce?
Oh, I don't know. It's all in such a muddle. Let's stop talking about it. And please, Lillian, don't say anything yet. I mean, we'll talk about it afterwards, if you like.
Stella?
What?
Stella, look who's here.
Hmm?
Miss Kirby? This is Captain Farrant.
Geoffrey!
Stella! This is a surprise. Oh, hello, Lillian.
Hello, Geoffrey.
Geoffrey, you've hardly changed at all. How have you managed it?
Oh, I don't know. Quiet life. Plenty of exercise, riding, that sort of thing. You've not changed much yourself, you know.
Oh, not much. I suppose that really means I'm looking an old hag.
Of course.
That's annoying, but... As a matter of fact, you're looking... prettier than ever. Isn't she, Dr. Kirby?
Well, it's terribly nice seeing you again, Geoffrey, and so soon, too. I'd hardly hoped for that. And still living at the old place.
Yes, still at the old place. It's mine now, you know.
Do you remember that birthday party we had just after your leg got better, when we let that enormous pig loose from the farm?
Good Lord, yes, you remember that.
Of course I do. I remember everything. And the time when old Bertie got so drunk when the beagles were meeting at your house.
By Jove, I remember that.
I should think you do, so do I. Poor old Bertie. I say, Stella, we have got something to talk about. It's going to take us...
Supper will be ready in a few minutes. I'll get Sarah to tell you.
Why, where are you going, Lillian?
I'm going to bed. I don't want any supper. I've got a headache. Good night.
Good night.
Oh, I say. Poor old Lillian.
Didn't know she was all right.
Just one of the moods. She's like that sometimes. Best to leave her alone.
Excitement, perhaps. Stella coming back, eh?
Oh, I say, Stella, did you see Gypsy Love at Daly's?
Hmm?
I did. Been trying to play bits ever since. I've got the music. You're just the person I wanted. Come and play some of them.
What, now?
Well, why not? Just a minute or two.
Go on, Stella. Fine to see you at the piano again.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, try this one.
Come
it's
on,
called You're in Love.
Sarah?
Hello? Hello? I want Denley 26. Yes, 26. Thank you. What? No, don't bother. Not just now.
Oh, rats. Yes. All alone, Wilfred. Where are the girls this afternoon?
Geoffrey Farrant called for Stella, and they've gone out for a walk. And Lillian went out somewhere, I don't know where, about a quarter of an hour ago. And I'm here looking at Punch.
So I see. Good number.
Hmm?
Punch.
Oh, not so far. I don't see the point of some of these jokes. This, for instance. Officer visiting outpost. If you saw one of the enemy, what would you do? Sentry. I calls him to halt. Officer, suppose he won't halt. Sentry with relish. Then I takes and unts him with me bayonet. I don't think that's very funny.
It wouldn't be very funny for the enemy. I saw some photographs of bayonet wounds once.
My hat, no. I shouldn't like anybody after me with a bayonet.
Well, I shouldn't worry. It isn't very likely anybody will be. The world's got a lot more sense than it's given credit for in the newspapers. And it's got science now to help it.
Dad?
Yep?
Do you often wonder what you'll be like in 10 years' time?
Not often, no.
No, of course. Well, naturally you wouldn't.
Oh? Why?
Well, being older, you're completely settled, aren't you? Well, you've always been here.
And I always will be. You talk as if I wasn't so much perishable human stuff, just like yourself, but the Cow Rock or something up there on Eden Moorside. Still, I suppose that's how I seem. I was here all complete when you arrived, and I'll just go on and on and on and on and on. That's the result of being a parent. You're an institution, not a human being.
I wouldn't mind if I was a bit more of an institution, Dad. Everything seems to slide away from me all the time, and I never seem to be in the right place.
Partly liver and partly boredom. You ought to be out having a sharp walk now. Oh, by the way, now that Stella's here and looks like stopping a few weeks, I think we might entertain a bit more, don't you?
Oh, good idea. If you can find anybody worth entertaining.
Well, it shouldn't be impossible. Just think of a few people. Young people, the sort Stella would like, that we could have. Oh. Make a little... what is it, Sarah? Do you want me?
That little lad of Mrs. Heppel's just brought this note.
All right, I'll call. Back in about an hour or so, Wilfred, if anybody wants me.
Now I'll tell you what it is.
Oh, shut up, Sarah. I want to read.
That's a nice way to talk, isn't it?
No, but I do want to be quiet.
I've seen time when you'd have got a good slap from me for answering back like that. Oh, but now you're a big lad and I'm an old woman. Oh, I know what you're telling yourself. A silly old woman.
Yes.
Well, old I may be, but I'm not so silly as some folk think.
I want to read.
That's not reading, playing about with that telephone thing.
That's my business.
You've been wanting to get at it on the quiet half the day. I've seen you. And not for the first time, neither. And if you'd any sense, you'd let it alone.
Oh, you don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, yes, I do. Maybe all right for the doctor, folk being poorly and in a hurry, but no good will come to you talking down that thing.
Oh.
If it's worth saying at all, it's worth saying properly, instead of gabbling into a daft machine. And if you thought anything of the lass...
Well, how do you know it is a lass, as you call it?
You wouldn't be making such a palaver if it weren't a lass. She can't be up to so much when you've got to keep so quiet about her. Leave her alone, I say, and that telly machine with her.
Oh, rats, and there's somebody coming now.
It'll be Miss Lillian.
Good afternoon. It's beginning to rain. What a lot of rain we've had this autumn, haven't we?
Yes.
Have you come to see Dr. Kirby?
Not particularly. Now, I'm not quite sure about him, but I know who you are. You're Sarah.
Well, what if I am?
Recognise you at once, you see. Heard a lot about you.
Well, I've never set eyes on you before, young man.
I'm not quite sure about you. Can't place you. But perhaps you're not one of the family here.
Yes, I am. I'm Wilfred Kirby.
Of course. Well, I'm one of the family, too.
That you're not.
Sorry, but I am. I'm Charlie Appleby.
Charlie Appleby?
Well, they're no wiser now.
This won't do. I say, Lillian, you'd better come and introduce me. They don't know anything about me in here. We're all very embarrassed.
I say, is this a joke?
Not much of one, old boy.
Wilfred?
Ah, here's Lillian.
Wilfred, this is Mr. Appleby.
Whoa, stop. Not Mr., just Appleby. Charlie Appleby. Charlie.
He's our brother-in-law. Stella's husband.
What? Never.
Sorry, know how you feel, Sarah.
But look here, when did this happen?
3 years ago, in Australia. Let's complete the ceremony of introduction, shall we? How do you do?
How do you do?
Sarah?
Are you really Miss Stella's husband?
Mrs. Stella's husband, yes.
But she's never said a single word to me about it. Not a single word.
Just a minute, Sarah. I want you to help me.
Oh, I can't understand it.
The poor old girl is convinced I'm an impostor. And I must say I never felt so much like one before.
But you see, we didn't know anything about it.
No, I've gathered that.
She's been home 4 days and never said a word.
Didn't know how to break the news, I expect. Difficult sometimes. I'm not a good newsbreaker myself.
I say, are you on the stage too?
Such is fame. Am I on the stage?
Oh, I'm sorry, but...
Oh, don't apologise. I expect you lead a quiet life. It looks a quiet life from the little I've seen of it.
Oh. Well, I'm only home on leave. From Africa.
Soldier?
No, I'm with the British West African Trading Company, actually.
Oh, this family gets about a bit, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yes, I've been on the stage 20 years. Ran away from Oxford to go on the stage. Been all over. Played nearly everything. Juvenile leads, character parts now. Soon I'll be doing the heavies. What a life.
Well, don't you like it?
Never been able to decide. You like Africa?
I'm not sure. I say, are you staying here?
Well, looks like it, doesn't it?
Well, I hope you are.
Why?
Well, we might go round a bit. Unless you want to be with Stella all the time.
No, I don't think I shall want to be with Stella all the time, old boy. Certainly, let's go round a bit. I can't imagine where we'll go, but no doubt you know where the lads of the village, the Bahois, the Canuts disport themselves. I don't suppose you come all the way from West Africa simply to watch the rain dripping off the old stone walls, have you?
Rather not.
You must take me round. You must show me the sights, and we'll see if we can't have some fun.
I've never been to a place yet, and I've been to some damn rum places where one couldn't have some fun if one tried.
I'll do my best for you.
Matter of fact, you're a find. I've forgotten about you. I saw myself simply having some grim chats about appendicitis in the surgery with your governor. What's he like, by the way?
Oh, Dad's all right.
To tell you the truth, I wasn't looking forward to meeting him. After all, it's a bit thick suddenly having a son-in-law thrust on you. Actor, too. Greasy hair, dirty collar, no money. Probably a bad lot.
I think it's going to be fun having you here.
Oh, thank God somebody thinks so. But I'm not in good form at the moment. Feel half dead. Got up too early to catch that train. And what a train. I was just saying, I feel half dead after that train.
I hope you don't mind a camp bed.
Not at all. So long as it isn't the kind that tries to fold itself up again in the middle of the night.
No, it's all right. But look here. You can have my bed, and I'll have the camp bed.
Well, you can settle it between you, because I've put him in your room, Wilfred.
Good. So, I say, oughtn't he to be... oughtn't he to be...
That's all right. I'm running this house.
Running it very well, too, I should think. Now, I'd like to turn in for an hour, if nobody's any objection.
No, of course not. I expect you're tired. Are you hungry?
No, thanks. I'm not hungry, but I'm devilish thirsty. Could I have a drink?
Would you like some tea?
I'm sorry, but it doesn't agree with me. If there's such a thing as a whiskey and soda going...
Oh, there's some in the dining room.
Come along and I'll show you where your room is.
I'll take my drink up to my room and not be in anybody's way. God.
Hello? Could I have Denley 2-6, please? Thank you. Hello? Is that Denley 2-6? Is that the White Hart? Could I speak to Miss Alice Murgatroyd, please? It's a friend. Well, yes, it is important. Well, thanks very much. Oh, is that you, Alice? It's Wilfred. Wilfred. Well, you know, Wilfred Kirby. But didn't you recognize my voice? Oh. Do you remember the other night? Oh, I see. Listen, can I see you today? Oh, no, Alice, it isn't the same thing at all seeing you in the bar. But I must see you alone. Listen, if you don't go on duty until 7, well, I could see you before then. I'd come over at once. But you can't have so much to do. Oh, good. I'll come over at once on my bike. No, honestly, it isn't raining much. It's nothing, really, and it'll probably be all over by the time we both get there. All right. At the bridge, eh? Oh, but you must be there. Hello? Hello?
Hello, Wilfred.
Oh, hello. I'm just off out. What? See you later, Geoffrey.
In a bit of a hurry, wasn't it? Nice in here. After the rain outside, looks cosy.
Oh, that's very elderly of you, Geoffrey.
I don't see that. Always liked the cosy after I've been out, did when I was a boy. This is when a pipe tastes its best. Indoors, after the wind and the rain. Do you mind?
I've told you before, I adore your pipe. I think I'll smoke too. Do you have a cigarette for me, please?
Yes, of course.
Do you mind?
I admit I have objected to women smoking in my time, but I don't mind when you do it.
You mean it doesn't matter if a tough old hag like me takes to such bad habits?
Don't talk such rot, Stella. You're prettier than ever. And there never was anybody less tough, as you call it.
Well, you're becoming suspiciously neat at this sort of thing, Geoffrey. Much better than you used to be. You've had a lot of practice while I've been away.
Stella.
Well, the walk didn't last long and there was too much rain, but I loved it.
That's good.
Rain suits this country here.
A good thing it does. We get plenty of it.
I wonder if you can understand what it means to me to come back after being so long away.
Of course I can. I was away over 2 years during the Boer War. Don't forget that.
No, I'm not, but I've been away much longer than that. It seems centuries. Dirty provincial towns, dozens of them. Stuffy little dressing rooms, stage doors down back streets.
Sounds beastly. Marvel to me how you stuck it.
Then London. The real London. Cheap digs in Victoria and Paddington. Oh. Meals in tea shops. Fog for days and days. No space, no fresh air.
But it was better when you went away touring.
Yes, but we saw a lot. Some of the places were lovely and some weren't. But you know, my dear, there was nothing like this anywhere.
There isn't, you know, if it's your own country.
Those grey stone walls climbing up the moors, Geoffrey. The little streams dashing down. The ling and the bracken. Green, green fields. And those huge, dark, brooding hills. And that heathery, salted, fresh smell. Oh, it's lovely, lovely. I feel like somebody who's just been let out of prison. I'm alive again. You don't read poetry, do you, Geoffrey?
Not much. Kipling, you know, but can't get on with most of the others.
Well, there are two lines of Wordsworth that give me this place as nothing else does. I've repeated them over and over again to myself, and they've always brought me back here, home.
Good for them. What are they?
Oh, they're at the end of some ridiculous poem about a young shepherd who comes into an estate. But I remember the two lines that come just before, so I'll put those in as well. Love had he found in huts where poor men lie. His daily teachers had been woods and rills, the silence that is in the starry sky, the sleep that is among the lonely hills.
Say the last bit again.
The silence that is in the starry sky, the sleep that is among the lonely hills.
Yeah, I get what he's driving at there, you know. That's Wordsworth, is it? I must tackle him again. What's the joke?
Oh, it's nothing. It's just that I suddenly saw you in that den of yours at the manor, tackling Wordsworth.
You can understand why I stay on at the old place.
Oh, heavens, yes.
Well, there isn't really a lot to do, looking after the estate. Sometimes I've told myself I'm a slacker, just hanging on there, doing a bit of hunting and shooting. I'd have been glad to have stayed in the army, of course, but my leg made that impossible, and somehow I've never been attracted to anything else. It's probably because I don't want to leave the old place.
Oh, you must never leave it, Geoffrey. You know, these last few days, I've been thinking again about my childhood, and things, dozens of things I'd forgotten have suddenly come back.
Do you like that?
Yes. Even though some of them were unhappy things.
I hope I wasn't one of them.
Oh, no, no, no. You came in afterwards, Geoffrey. No, it was when I was growing up, or when I thought I was growing up. When I was a girl.
You're still a girl.
Oh, dear man, don't be ridiculous. I'm a woman, and very soon, horrors, I shall be an old girl.
Well, oh, that puts me well into the decayed class, then.
No, it's different for a man. You're merely coming within sight of maturity.
Nevertheless, you've changed, and I haven't.
How have I changed? Oh, if it's something unpleasant, don't tell me. I won't have today spoiled.
It isn't unpleasant.
Oh, go on then. Tell me all about it.
When I've thought about you...
Have you thought about me?
I've thought about you a lot. Wondered where you were, what you were doing and so on. And I've always thought that after being on the stage, you'd be much harder. Harder, that is, than you used to be. And you're not. You're... You know, I'm no good at this sort of thing.
Oh, you're much better than you think you are, Geoffrey. Besides, I've had the misfortune to meet a lot of men who pride themselves on being good at this sort of thing.
All blighters, I'll bet.
Yes, Geoffrey. Mostly blighters.
What I meant to say was that you're still yourself, Stella. But you're nicer, kinder, dash it, I'll say it, gentler than you used to be. At least to me you are.
I'm glad you think so, Geoffrey. I should like to be. I've learnt a lot these last years I've been away. I've often thought about how badly I treated you in the past, and I've been ashamed. Sometimes, just lately, I'd been tempted to write and tell you so. Only I didn't know what had happened to you. You might easily have forgotten all about me.
I've tried hard enough.
I can understand that.
I wanted to get on with my own life. You got on with yours.
That's reasonable.
Yes. Too reasonable. I knew that the moment I came in here the other night and saw you again. I hadn't been doing badly the last year or two.
That forgetting me?
Yes. I'd even been able to come here a good deal. Sometimes to see your father. And Wilfred when he was on leave. But chiefly to see Lillian. I've seen a lot of her, you know.
Yes. Yes, I gathered that.
Yes. Lillian's a fine girl, you know.
Yes, I'm sure she is. Well, that sounds absurd, doesn't it, when she's my sister. But the fact is, I don't really know her very well now. But I'm sure there's something very strong and fine about her. She's always had much more courage, strength, and honesty than I have.
Oh, Stella.
I mean that, Geoffrey. Do you think I don't know myself by now? I'm changeable. I'm weak. And I'm a coward.
You're not.
You don't know, my dear, but I'm being very weak and cowardly at this very moment.
I don't believe you.
I don't want you to believe me, Geoffrey.
Well, you may be changeable, I don't know. But I know this. I'm not changeable. I loved you years ago. I love you now just the same. I see why nobody's ever mentioned anything all this time. It's because of you. There's only you. I love you, Stella.
Geoffrey.
I may not be able to read poetry, Stella, but I've imagined that over and over again.
I've thought about it sometimes.
By Jove, have you? If I'd known that, I'd have come charging all over Australia and the United States looking for you. See what I've missed.
No, Geoffrey.
No. Probably you're right. Now we've got to talk.
Yes, Geoffrey, but not the kind of talk you mean. No plans, no timetables, no arrangements, no seeing how we stand, nothing like that.
Oh, but...
No, no, just idle, foolish talk that gets you nowhere. It means nothing and yet can mean everything. No, it doesn't matter now who we are or how we stand or anything like that. Just think of the two of us here in a nice, cozy room lost in the moorland rain. There isn't anybody else, just us. And time stopped for us. Well, it flies at such a terrible speed, really, Geoffrey.
Oh, I don't know. But somehow or other, things don't change much here.
Yes, they do. I haven't been away so very long, and yet everything's different, really. Mother gone. Wilfred and Lillian grown up. Half strangers. Father much older. Too old. Oh, I sound like Stevenson's Wanderer, don't I? Don't you remember the verse I used to keep saying over and over again?
No, I don't.
Home was home then, my dear, full of kindly faces. Yes. Home was home then, my dear, happy for the child. Fire and the windows bright glittered in the moorland. Song, tuneful song, built a palace in the wild.
I'm sorry if I've startled you, Stella, but I didn't want to interrupt the performance.
Charles!
Didn't they tell you I was coming? Oh, too bad. Wanted to make a surprise of it, I suppose. Something to pass the long autumn evening.
How did you get here?
No, train, my dear. Train from town. Hours and hours and hours of it. It started about dawn. I'm feeling a bit muzzy, too. I'm afraid we're embarrassing this gentleman. Hadn't you better introduce me?
Geoffrey, this is Charles Appleby.
Oh.
My husband, Captain Farrant.
How do you do? An old friend of my wife's, I expect. I think I've heard her mention you. Well, if you'll excuse me a minute, I'll go and get myself a drink. Always get thirsty on trains. Most curious thing. Why didn't you tell me?
I told you I was weak and cowardly, didn't I?
Yes. But I didn't know it was as bad as that.
Oh, please, Geoffrey, don't try to hurt me. I'm hurt enough as it is.
What about me? I suppose you think I'm enjoying
myself. Oh, Geoffrey, it isn't as bad as it seems. We were married 3 years ago, and we've been separated for over a year now. I don't know why he's here. I didn't ask him here.
I don't think I want to hear any more about it just now. I must go.
Only a few minutes ago, I was so happy. I thought it couldn't last. It didn't even last as long as I thought.
It didn't deserve to last a second. I'll get my coat.
What? Going?
Yes. Goodbye. I'm sorry, Stella. Didn't mean to barge in at the wrong moment like that. Always putting my foot in it. No tact. It's just cost me a job. You'll laugh when I tell you about it. Shall I tell you? Perhaps I'd better keep it. No good spoiling the story. But you will laugh when I tell you.
Why have you come here?
Oh. Well, you see, I was resting and a bit fed up with town. Thought the change might do me good. All in order, you know. I had an invitation to come down here.
What?
Well, I thought it might have come indirectly from you.
It didn't.
No, I'm gathering that. Nobody seems to know much about me here. Haven't met your father yet.
No, and that's not going to be easy.
Why?
Oh, I can't explain.
I'm beginning to feel like a baby that's turned up at a wedding. A warm welcome was given to Mr. Charles Appleby, always a favourite in the north of England. Good old Charlie, they cried.
Oh, don't be funny, Charlie.
Well, I've got to be something. Damn it, look at it from my point of view. I've got feelings as well as you and your old friend. The bronzed, clean-living English gentleman who's just pushed off in a temper. I come here because I'm invited. I imagine you've something to do with it. After all, you're still my wife. I get up at some unearthly hour this morning, in pitch darkness, travel most of the day, and then when I arrive here, I'm treated as if I were a bad dose of smallpox.
Oh, I know. It's not your fault.
Oh, by the way, what's the telephone number here?
I don't know. It's there.
I'll make a note. I must send it to the agents. They may want me in a hurry. One or two new tours going out. Somebody said something about old Heidelberg touring again. And the monk and the woman. A title like that ought to bring them in. You know that Hilda Moore's touring in Belladonna. If she wants to get back to town and they want to keep the tour going, there might be a chance for you there. But you've played Hilda Moore parts.
I've finished with the theatre.
Don't you believe it. I've heard that before. Nobody's finished with the theatre until the theatre's finished with them. You'll be working again in a month.
I shan't.
I've said that, you know. We all have. Meant it too when we've said it. I remember once, well, it was about 2 years before I met you. I was out in a message from Mars and... Hello, Lillian. You look businesslike.
I have to do Dad's accounts.
Why?
He's so forgetful now.
Oh, I hadn't noticed it.
You haven't been here long enough to notice it.
No. I think I'll have a look round.
It was you, of course, who asked Charles to come here.
Yes. How did you find him?
You told me his name and said that you both had the same agent. When I was hoping to turn out your room, I saw a letter from the agent.
I see. It's quite simple. These things usually are, if you don't mind going into other people's rooms and reading their letters.
Perhaps if you'd condescended to do your own room instead of going out for a walk with Geoffrey, I shouldn't have seen the letter.
I wasn't asked to help with the housework here. I was told, in fact, not to do anything. On the other hand, I was asked to go for a walk by Geoffrey. But that's got nothing to do with it. You read my letters. You probably read all my letters.
That particular one happened to be lying open on the dressing table. Your agent's name and address on it were big enough to be read across the room.
But I'm glad he saved your eyesight. Why did you ask Charles to come here? It was no business of yours. I told you we were separated. We haven't lived together for over a year now. We haven't spoken to one another. We haven't seen one another except the other day at the agent's for months and months. And if I'd wanted him here, I would have asked him myself. You'd got no right to interfere. And if it had been anybody else but Charles, who's a fool, he'd never have come here on such an invitation.
3 years ago, you were sufficiently in love with him to marry him. Now you can't stand him in the same house.
And that's my affair.
By the way, I've put him in Wilfred's room.
I suppose I ought to be grateful you haven't put him into my bed.
Well, you needn't be disgusted.
So, and you needn't be such a beastly little hypocrite. Why did you send for him?
He was your husband. You weren't happy. I could see that. I thought you'd like another chance.
Yes, it's all lies. You're still talking like a beastly little hypocrite. You're lying, Lillian. Why did you send for him?
I've told you.
You've told me nothing, and you know it. But I'll make you tell the truth. You've made me confess about my marriage. You've read my letters and interfered in my private affairs. And now you think you can put me off with a few silly lies. Do you think I'm a fool?
Yes.
Yes! I'm sorry, Lillian. I shouldn't have done that.
It doesn't make me think you any less of a fool. It's like nearly everything else you do. Violent and silly and useless.
Oh, is it? Well, I'll tell you now why you asked Charles to come here. It had nothing to do with me and my marriage. You don't care a rap about that, do you?
Not much. Why should I?
No. You did it because you're in love with Geoffrey Farrant. Oh, what's the use of pretending you're in love with Geoffrey and you're terrified of losing him? I knew that the first night I arrived here when you went sneaking off to bed pretending you had a headache. And even before that, before Geoffrey called, the minute I arrived here I knew there was something. You didn't really want me here. I felt at once there was something resentful about
and
you.
Why should there be anything else? Why should you expect it all to fall on your neck the minute you condescended to come home?
That's unfair.
We always had more of everything than Wilfred and I had. Before you went away, you let Geoffrey fall in love with you. Made him follow you around, laughed at him. Yes, and to us. Even then, I hated you for it.
I cared more for Geoffrey then than you think.
I don't believe that you know what it is to love anyone properly. You think being sentimental is caring for people. It isn't. Then you insisted on going on the stage, although you knew perfectly well that Mother had a horror of theatre.
Oh, what's that?
Well, she couldn't help it. That's the way she'd been brought up. You went away without caring how much Mother and Father were worrying.
And that's not true, Lillian. I cared terribly. You can't begin to understand.
That helped to kill Mother.
And that's not true. Oh, Lillian, it's not true.
It is.
But you are cruel, Lillian.
I said you'd make me tell the truth. Well, here it is. Mother died father was left lonely and miserable. I didn't want to stay here. I had plans of my own, but I had to stay then to look after the house and father. He needed me.
He didn't. What? If you'd decided to go off and do something, he wouldn't have tried to stop you. He simply thought you wanted to stay at home.
Well, how would you know?
Oh, it doesn't matter. The point is, you stayed at home because you wanted to stay at home, and now you're making a great virtue out of it. You're one of these self-appointed martyrs.
I am not pretending to be a martyr. I'm simply explaining why I didn't think that you were so very wonderful. You went off without caring about us to do what you wanted to do. And while you were enjoying yourself, you didn't bother about us. You could even get married without telling us. And when you'd had enough of the stage and had made a mess of your marriage, you decided to come home.
Yes. And you seem to forget that, after all, it is my home, just as much as it's yours.
No, it is not! It stopped being your home when you ran away from it all those years ago. And it is my home more than ever because I've stuck to it and helped to keep it going. We'd made a life here without you. And now you have to come charging back into it, upsetting everyone. Everyone?
You seem to forget that everybody here was pleased to see me except you.
Yes, and a lot of good it'll do them.
All you're thinking about is Geoffrey, only you won't admit it.
I'm not afraid of admitting it. I do love Geoffrey, and I have done for years, and I believe that I could make him happy. And I know that you couldn't and wouldn't even try very long.
So you made up your mind he should see for himself that I have a husband. Oh, yes, they've met already. I'm sorry you weren't here. Well, you played your trick, Lillian, and a dirty little trick it was, too. Charles is here, and he's a nuisance. But he won't stay long. And I'm staying. And you haven't won. And nothing has happened, except that now I realize either you've changed completely, or I never really knew you at all.
I can't see that it matters which it is.
Well, what does matter to me is that you and I could have talked to one another the way we have. Though I've never even tried to hurt you, and you've deliberately hurt me. I'd look forward so much to seeing you again. We'd shared so many things before, I thought we could have a wonderful time together. But if you'd been open and friendly with me from the first, I couldn't have taken anything or anybody away from you. I could have been happy just because you were happy. Oh, Lillian, you wouldn't be so hard if you hadn't been shut away here so long in a safe little corner. It's because you don't know how much misery there is in the world. And how circumstances and time can change and hurt us.
You're not really unhappy now. In a way, you're enjoying it. You see, I'm not like that. I can't enjoy my emotions.
I say, Stiller, your father's just come in. He thinks I'm a patient. You'd better come and explain.
I hope you don't think I'm going to enjoy this.
You're not afraid of Dad, are you?
I'm afraid for him. You can't begin to understand how hateful this is going to be for me.
Nice. Very nice. I call this very snug, old boy.
Not bad quarters. Not bad quarters at all. Besides something like this in British West.
In where, old boy?
British West.
Never heard of it.
British West Africa.
Oh, yes. Africa. I've been to Africa. South Africa. It's all right, Africa is, old boy.
It's fine. I like Africa, Charlie.
Quite right. We pass Africa. Hello. Drinks. But what's this supper doing here?
Oh, that's for my father.
Where is he?
Out working. Somebody somewhere must be very ill. Having a baby, perhaps. All pegging out.
And your poor old governor's looking after him.
Yeah. And that's for when he comes back. Hot milk, brandy, biscuits. And he deserves them, Charlie.
He does, old boy. He's a noble fella. As soon as I saw him, yesterday afternoon, I said to myself, Stella's father, my father-in-law, he's a noble old fella. I think we ought to drink his health.
I agree.
If my old man had been a doctor, a lot of things would have been different. Very different. But he wasn't.
What was he? Your old man?
Nothing, old boy. Nothing. Just a bloody English gentleman. But never mind him. Here's to Dr. Kirby, a noble old fella.
Here's to him. Good old Dad.
Let's sit down.
Oh. Yes.
You know, old boy, we've had a good evening. I told you yesterday when we first met. I said then, we can go out, you and I, and have a good evening here, didn't I?
You did.
Well, we've had one. Yes. All right, then, we've had a good evening. No harm in it. No harm in it at all. A few pubs, a few rounds of drinks, a chat with some of the local boys. Social harmony and innocent mirth, as somebody said somewhere. A good evening. But do you think you could get any woman to admit we'd had a good evening? Oh, boy. Take it from me, you couldn't. Stella's a nice girl. Would she admit we'd had a good evening? No. Your other sister, Lillian, would she admit it? No. Old boy, they'd tear it down flat. Where have you been? Look at you. They're all alike.
Yes, I suppose so.
One of our chaps in Africa...
Just a minute. Tell me afterwards. Don't forget, I want to hear about that chap. What I was going to say was this. It doesn't matter what women do, or whether you go to Africa or not. Life's a very wonderful thing. You realize that, old boy?
By Jove, yes. I was just thinking, coming along...
A wonderful thing. You can't get away from that.
Oh, you can't get away from it, Charlie.
I've had my troubles... Even you've had your troubles.
Well, I should think I have. Do you know, when I first went out to Nigeria...
You had a hell of a time. Yes, and I've had a hell of a time. But in spite of everything, I think, I know, life's a wonderful thing.
There's something about it, isn't there?
You've hit it. There's something about it. I think we'd better be getting upstairs. What was the name of that... biggish place at the crossroads?
Oh, that's the White Hart. My favourite.
You're quite right. Best of the lot. We'll concentrate on that one next time. Did you notice the little barmaid there? The little fair one?
Oh, yes. That's Alice.
Alice, is it? Well, she's all right. A promising little tart, that.
What? Why do you call her that?
Didn't you notice her? Something doing there, old boy. Can't miss it. Quite pretty and absolutely asking for it. Didn't you see her giving me enormous glad eyes? They wanted me to come round and see her when it was quieter.
She didn't, and you're a liar.
Yeah, steady, steady.
I tell you she didn't, and you're a dirty liar.
You're screwed, old boy. Take it easy.
Tell me it isn't true.
Anything you like, so long as you stop making that row. What the devil does it matter whether it's true or not?
It matters to me.
Oh, I see.
It's the only thing that matters to me.
Oh, Joe, you damn fool. Of course it isn't.
She didn't ask you to come round and see her, did she? Well, tell me she didn't.
Not so much noise, you young ass.
Tell me she didn't.
She didn't, then. Must have been somebody else, one of the others.
Are you sure?
What I am sure of, old boy, is that you're badly screwed, and it's time I got you up to bed.
You're making a frightful noise.
Sorry, Lillian. Just having a little argument, that's all. I'm taking Wilfred up to bed now. He's a bit tired.
You mean he's drunk? You both are.
Oh, no, no, no.
What's the matter? Oh, Charles.
Charles.
Here, Wilfred.
I'm going to be sick.
Oh, Charles.
That's all right, old boy. That's all right. You stick to me. Steady, steady. I'll look after him.
That's all right, old boy. I've got you.
Steady, steady. Don't worry.
He's all right.
Thank God Dad's still out, that's all.
That's what I was thinking.
He hates drunkenness, so do I.
He needn't know anything about this.
Don't imagine that I shall tell him. But this has never happened before. Wilfred does go into local pubs sometimes, but he's never had much to drink. As a matter of fact, I believe he thinks he's fallen in love with a barmaid somewhere. But he's never been like this before.
Oh, well, this comes of going out with Charles the very first time, too.
And I hope the last...
Well, I didn't invite him here. He's your guest.
He's your husband.
He was.
Well, he still is. Why did you marry him, Stella?
For the usual reasons. I was in love with him. As a matter of fact, I was very much in love with him.
Were you?
Poor Charlie, I suppose it does seem incredible to you.
Has he changed very much?
No, he hasn't, really. But it's one thing seeing him here, out of his element, not working, and rather depressed. It's quite another thing seeing him as I did when we were touring Australia and the East for months as the most amusing and charming person in the whole company. To be working and travelling and laughing with him month after month, thousands of miles from home. Oh, it's no use, Lillian. You'll never understand my life. We were very happy together for a little while. Poor Charlie.
Why do you keep saying poor Charlie?
Because, although he doesn't deserve it, I can't help feeling sorry for him. I suppose I'm still fond of him.
Then why don't you look after him?
Why should I?
He belongs to you.
I can't think about people like that. I'm not possessive.
Are you two quarrelling again? You're always quarrelling. Why don't you take it easy? Live and let live.
Never mind about us. What about Wilfred?
Oh, that's what I came down to say. He's been sick.
Oh.
He's in bed. He's fast asleep.
Well, you get to bed now, Charlie, and you can both sleep as long as you like in the morning.
It was his own fault, you know. He wouldn't mix them. I said to him right at the start, I said, now, take a tip and don't mix them. But
get to bed, Charlie. And don't make a noise. Father may be in any moment.
A noble old fella. I wouldn't disturb him for the world. Good night, girls.
Poor Charlie. Nobody knows better than I do how maddening he can be. But there is something rather sweet about him. He's only a great child. There are dozens of them, great children, just like him in the theatre.
Well, if he's a child, all the more reason why you should look after him.
Don't nag at me, Lillian.
And child or no child, he can't be allowed to spend any more evenings like this with Wilfred.
Well, if Wilfred's developing a passion for barmaids, he's quite capable of getting drunk by himself.
No, Wilfred's only a silly baby yet. Besides, it's Dad I'm really thinking about.
Yes, there's Dad.
Well?
You're just trying to drive me out, aren't you, Lillian? I don't understand you at all. Doesn't seem to matter to you that I've been desperately unhappy all these last months, and that when I came home, it was like beginning a wonderful new life again. Doesn't that mean anything to you, Lillian?
Yes. It would mean a lot more if I really believed in it.
Oh, you think it's all insincere, made-up stuff, an actress letting herself go.
I think you encourage your emotions, so whatever they are, in a way you enjoy them.
We've grown up to be thousands of miles away from each other. We live in different worlds. I think you're rather like Mother.
I think I am.
But what hurts me is that underneath all this difference, there isn't with you any affection or friendship. If you'd lived so long among strangers, in places where nobody knew you or cared anything about you at all, you'd understand how this can hurt. You behave very badly to me. You've deliberately set yourself against me, and yet to me you're still Lillian, my sister, and I'm longing to talk properly with you, to remember silly things we did, to laugh and cry together. Can't you see?
The trouble is, Stella, you can afford to feel like that. I can't.
Well, what do you mean?
Well, it hasn't been fun treating you like this. It's not true that I don't care at all. I do. But I know, and I knew it the moment you came back, that if I gave in, you'd overwhelm me. sweep me away.
Well, why not?
Because you would knock down everything that I've built up here. You'd take Geoffrey again without really wanting him. You'd unsettle Dad, Wilfred. And just when they'd all come to depend on you again, well, you'd run away, just as you did before. People like you, Stella, don't want to make other people unhappy.
I don't. Never. I know too much about it myself.
But for all that, you do make people unhappy. You can't help it, I suppose. There's no real responsibility in you.
Why are you so responsible, so old and wise? You say I make people unhappy. I may do. But I can make them happy, too. Can you?
Yes, in my own way.
A dull and dusty way it seems, too.
Well, what do you know about me?
How can I know anything about you when you're all shut up inside yourself and won't come out? Oh, it's no use.
We'll never agree.
I don't want us to agree. We could at least be real together. Even that's impossible, it seems.
It's years too late. Let's be reasonable.
Go on, then. Let's be reasonable.
Well, you saw what happened tonight. Wilfred and your Charles. What are you going to do about it?
I don't know. I want to think.
You'll go sooner or later, you know.
Oh, why should you say that? You don't know. You don't realize what it's meant to me coming back home.
You'll soon get tired of it.
No, I shouldn't. I'm sure I shouldn't.
Just as you did before. You'd go on smashing things. Other people's lives as well as your own. Dad thinks that you've had a wonderful time on the stage, that you're going to be a famous actress, that you're happily married.
Please, Lillian.
Well, if you wanted to stay, you'd have to tell him that you've failed in everything. And that's only the beginning. Well, you'd never get back into this life properly. You'd be restless. You'd be a person without a real life anywhere. You'd think yourself a failure.
Oh, Lillian, please stop. I don't want to hear any more.
There's Dad coming in.
Will you go to bed, Lillian? I want to talk to Dad for a moment.
Don't keep him up. He'll be awfully tired.
Yes, I know. But I must talk to him.
Mrs. Sugden has been delivered of a man-child. So big and so like William Sugden, I felt like offering it a pipe of tobacco. Yeah. I'm tired.
You must be, Dad.
Your hot milk and brandy's there.
Thank you. But what are you two doing up?
We had a noise. It was Charles and Wilfred. They went to bed and we stayed up talking.
I'm going now. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
I'm getting a bit tired of the human body, Stella. I'll be glad to get back to my birds. Well, they're not so heavy, not so lumpy. They do things with more style.
Was Mrs. Sugden difficult?
No, not really, though. It's always a worrying job, especially when you've had to wait over time. But it's done now. There's another of us arrived in the village.
Poor little chap.
You needn't be sorry for him. To begin with, he looks a fine, healthy specimen. The Sugdens are. And then again, with any luck, he'll see a better world than you or I will ever know. And there's a better world coming, Stella. Cleaner, saner, happier. We've only to turn a corner, and it's there. And this baby of Sugden's will never know anything else. When he grows up, sometime in the 1930s, he simply won't understand the muddle we lived in.
It is a muddle, isn't it?
Yeah. And it's mostly our own fault. And yet it isn't, either. Have you ever noticed, or are you too young yet, how one part of us doesn't seem to be responsible for our own character, and simply suffers because we have that character? I mean, you see yourself, being yourself, behaving in the old familiar way, and though you may pay and suffer, the real you, the one that watches,
doesn't seem to be responsible.
Yes. I was thinking that only tonight. It's true.
Ah, it's nice to see you looking like that again with your hair down. It makes the last 20 years seem like nothing. You might be a child again.
Dad, I'm afraid Charles and I must leave tomorrow.
No, that's bad news, Winnie. I'd hoped you were staying a long time.
Oh, so had I, but... Well, we've just been offered 2 very good parts.
Then you're right to take them. Though I think you could do with a longer holiday than you've had, but if the English theatre won't let go of you, even for a few weeks, we must just put up with it, that's all.
I don't want to go.
Harry, you mustn't mind us. I'm proud of you. I'll always think of you forging ahead in your profession, getting all you can out of life. You know, you're doing it for me as well as for yourself. As I told you before, I think I made a mistake. Your mother wanted me to settle down here, and so I did. Nobody knows but you that I've ever regretted it. And that's another secret.
Dad.
You're rectifying that mistake, Stella, and only you. Lillian's your mother all over again. As long as she's a house of her own and a man in it, she'll be happy in her own way. And Wilfred... Wilfred's a good lad, but he's a bit weak. Easy going. He'll never do much. But you're going on. Living as I could have lived. And I'm glad. I'm proud. So there can't be anything to cry about.
No, of course not. I'm stupid. And it's bedtime.
Sunday tomorrow. There's only one train to London, the 12:19, and it's a brute.
Oh, never mind that. We're used to brutal Sunday trains. They're about the only kind we know. Good night, Dad.
Good night, Stella.
If they'd a bit of sense, they wouldn't let us stir out today, let alone go to London. Sunday and all. Travelling a Sunday in a fog. No good'll come of that. It's as thick as ever it were. Nay, thicker. It'll be worse afore it's better. What they want to run trains at all for a Sundays, I don't know. Why can't they let folks have a bit of peace and quiet for one day in the week? Stop at home and sit back fire. London'll still be there tomorrow. It'll keep, London will, unless it goes rotten. Daft, I call it.
I say, Sarah, who do you think you're talking to?
Not to you.
Well, you're not talking to anybody else, because there's nobody else here.
Then I'm wasting my breath.
The car will be here in a quarter of an hour.
Are they having a motor car to take them to the station?
Yes, old Thompson's, Harold Johnston.
I call it tempting providence.
Morning, Wilfred, Sharon.
What you letting Miss Stella go for today, Sunday, with this fogging in a motor car, too, I don't know.
Don't be fussy, Sarah, don't be so... fussy. Now, I left a little book somewhere around here this morning. Hope to goodness I'm not going to be called away now.
Captain Farron.
Oh, all right then, send him in. But it's a little book, about that size, called Moorland Bird Life. Have you seen it?
Dad, I haven't.
Hello.
Hello, Geoffrey. Come into the surgery with me, will you? I want to get something for Stella to take away with her.
Take away?
Aye. Morning, Wilfred. How's the head now?
Doing better, thanks.
You mix them too much, old boy. God, what a beast of a day.
You're going to have a rotten journey.
I know we shall. You can't tell me anything about long train journeys on foggy Sundays. If we'd any sense, we'd stay here and sit in front of the fire and talk about West Africa and wild birds and operations and Gabby DeLees and the bunny hug.
I say, can you do the bunny hug?
No, nor the turkey trot, nor the tango. Not my line, thank God. At the moment, I feel that my line is playing old family solicitors, rheumaticky, toothless old scoundrels. I have been instructed, Sir Rupert, to acquaint you with the terms of your uncle's will.
Jolly fine. Oh,
I wish I was an actor.
And I wish I was in West Africa, the hottest and blackest bit. Oh, by the way, just let me give you a tip while I've a chance, old boy. Mm. Take it or leave it. But I think if I were you, I should give that pub, you know the one, the White Hart, a miss. And give that little girl Alice a miss with it. Look, I don't want to interfere, old boy. And couldn't preach if I tried. But they're no good, those bits. Not to a youngster like you. She'll only lead you up and down the garden. I know. I've had some in my time. Give it a miss, old boy.
Yes, but you don't understand.
You absolutely understand everything. I've been there. I've had some. Well, just think it over, old boy.
Well, the trouble is, I'm having a hell of a time.
It'll pass. I know. Look, but try and find yourself another little girl. There must be plenty round here. Squires' daughters with round red cheeks who'll sing the Indian love lyrics to you after dinner. Pale hands, I love this sight.
Wilfred Lillian wants you a moment.
Oh, all right.
Haven't you finished packing yet, old girl?
Very nearly, all but a couple of books. Charles, I want to talk to you.
Well, I want to talk to you. I haven't had a chance yet today. Look here, what's happening? I get up.
At last.
Admitted, and not feeling very bright. And I find we're leaving, before lunch. I gather from what your father said, we're supposed to have just been offered two wonderful parts.
Well, that's what I told him. I hope you didn't
say... Look, now, you know me better than that. I murmured something about Tree and His Majesty's Theatre. Big new production. I nearly convinced myself.
Well, that's all right, then.
Yes, as far as it goes. But I want to know what's happening.
Well, we're both getting on the same train for town and sitting in the same compartment. And then once we're out of sight, if you don't want to talk to me, you needn't, Charles.
I see. We're putting on a performance for these people here.
Yes. It's probably the only performance we shall put on for some time, so we may as well make the most of it.
Look here, Stella. Couldn't we go on with it when we get to town?
Do you want to?
I do. You ought to know that. But do you? That's the point.
I think I'd like to try again, Charles.
That's wonderful of you. It really is, old girl.
And don't call me old girl.
Well, sorry. I forgot.
How much money have you got?
Now I know we've joined up again. It's quite like old times. Yes, I've some money. About £17. And then
there's a fellow at the club who owes me a tenner. Yes, well, he still doesn't count. You haven't got much, have you? I've only got about 20 left. We shall have to get a job quickly, Charles.
We'll walk into one tomorrow now that we're together again. Might pick up a couple of leads for the road. What about trying for one of God's own countries again, eh?
Yes, I wouldn't mind. In fact, I'd like it. If I'm going to go away, I may as well go a long way.
Right. You're right, you know, to clear out. You'd never settle here. All right for a break, but that's all. You're doing the right thing.
And am I doing the right thing taking you back again?
Oh, it's a risk, I know. I'm no catch. But I won't let you down. We've had some fun together. We can have some more yet. What do you say?
You've got the wrong tie on. Why do you keep wearing that tie?
It's the only one I brought. What's the matter with it?
It's awful.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, well, that's all right. Come in, old boy. We're just having a chat about ties.
We haven't long now. Will you and Wilfred get my trunk down, please?
All baggage will be stacked in the hall immediately.
Well, Geoffrey.
You're going?
Very soon. Back to town.
I'm going, too.
You're going? Where?
I'm going out to New Zealand.
What?
For a year or two, perhaps longer. To my cousin.
Geoffrey, only the other day you were saying you were so fond of this place you couldn't bear to leave it.
Yes, so I thought. Then I found I was wrong. I wanted to get away.
Have you really made your mind up?
Yes, I cabled my cousin yesterday. I shall take the next boat.
Poor Lillian.
Why do you say that?
Don't you realize that Lillian's in love with you? She has been for years.
Oh, I'm sorry. As a matter of fact, I'm very fond of Lillian. We've seen a lot of one another.
Then why don't you marry her, Geoffrey?
Because I don't want to, Stella. And I don't understand why you should ask me to. I don't understand women at all, I'm afraid. I can't make you out, for instance.
Then don't try.
I was angry with you when I left the other afternoon.
I know you were, my dear. I'm sorry.
In a way, I'm still angry. But it's no use.
It isn't any use being angry with people like that, Geoffrey. I'm beginning to see that now.
No, I don't mean that quite. I mean, well, Here I am, you see. And I didn't know you were going when I called. I just couldn't keep away.
But you were already determined to go away yourself, and a long way, too.
Yeah, that was your doing, of course. I knew you'd be leaving us soon, and I thought you'd just leave me and the whole place as flat as a pancake. I couldn't stand the thought of that. I had to do something.
I'm sorry, Geoffrey. It's all such a muddle, and I seem to be the muddle-maker-in-chief. See, for years while I've been away, I've had the thought of this place, home, always in my mind. And here it seemed to me that everything was different. There was no muddle. And for an hour... No, only half an hour. It was everything I thought it would be, and I was so happy. And then I discovered it was all mixed up with the rest of the world, and now I haven't even got this place to think about.
You talk too much about happiness, Stella.
I think I do, Geoffrey. I must be a braver traveller. We have our lives to get on with, to lead them as best we can, and there's no running away. There's no escape. There's no miracles.
I'll give you a hand with those.
Oh, the others are coming. Goodbye, Stella.
Oh, but you're staying to see us all?
Yes, of course, but this is the real goodbye. And good luck. I shall always love you.
That's more than I deserve. Goodbye, Geoffrey.
Enter ye butler.
I don't care if all the motor cars in England is blowing and puffing and shooting outside. You're all going to have a good hot cup of tea before you go.
What? Oh, yes, of course we are. Oh, lovely tea. Thank you, Sarah.
Charles here. We haven't much time.
Oh, plenty of time. Let the thing wait.
Strong stuff, isn't it?
Mm, always is. But she's made it specially. We'd better try and drink some just to please it.
Rather.
Yes, of course. It's lovely tea.
Hello, Geoffrey.
Hello, Lillian.
Horrible day, isn't it?
Beastly.
How's the bone?
Well, better than I thought. The vet says it's a sprain. What's the fog like now, Wilfred? Oh, may lift.
I nearly forgot this, Miss Stella.
Oh, what is it, darling?
Why, your fancy dress I found the other day, the very day you came home.
Oh, she doesn't want it, sir.
Oh, of course I do. Oh, I shall hang it in the dressing room wherever I go. Oh, thank you, sir. It's a lovely present. And the tea's so good.
Extraordinary. Sarah, you must stop in, you know. There's no station for you.
Oh, gracious, no. It's much too foggy and cold. Besides, I can say goodbye to you much better in here.
All right, love. Would you like another cup of tea?
No, thank you.
Timer off.
If that telephone rings when we've gone, I'll bet it's to offer me the biggest part I've ever known. And I'll miss it.
More likely to ask me to go shooting rabbits with the Mowbrays.
Don't you worry. I'll be the person who'll be wanted. And I've a good idea who'll be wanting me, poor soul. Now then, all ready?
Now, Sarah, old girl, you stay here and keep warm. And I'm delighted to have met you. Heard a lot about you from Stella, you know. Goodbye.
Goodbye. And look after her.
With my life. Goodbye.
Not a bad sort for an actor chap, is he? No, I bet he takes a bit of watching. You look after him too, love. He's not but a big daft lad like them all.
Oh, Sarah. I don't know what to say. There aren't any words.
Nay, love. Nay, little love. Don't catch cold when you're coming out of the theatres. I'm an old woman now, almost past my time. Happen I shan't ever see you again.
Yes, you will. You must.
Oh, see you sometime. There's a better place than this, love.
Come on, Stella.
Oh, I must go. Goodbye, Sarah. Goodbye. Goodbye, everything. I'm coming.
Goodbye. Goodbye, little love. You can just be quiet. I'm not waiting on a duff machine. I'm not answering. You'll not get me answering you. You can ring your head off.
In Eden End by J.B. Priestley, you heard Leslie Sands as Dr. Kirby, Joan Plowright as Stella, and Geoffrey Palmer as Geoffrey Farrant. Paul Gregory was Wilfred Kirby, Gabrielle Day, Sarah, Louis Ramsey, Lillian, and Michael Jostin, Charles Appleby. The producer was Roger Pine.